Well, this morning, amen, we've come to the part of the service where we learn from God's word, amen. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and grab your Bibles with me and turn to the book of John chapter 14. And this morning, I want to preach a message entitled, The Peace of Christ in Me. The Peace of Christ in Me. Go to the book of John chapter 14, verses 27. The book of John, chapter 14, verses 27. And again, also, if you're watching online or if you're here and you have your phone, go ahead and start a watch party. Share this video. Let's get the word out there to as many people as we can. Amen. Amen. We want people to hear the message. Amen. How many know people need to hear the word of God? Amen. So if you have social media, amen, you can go ahead and share this video. We're streaming it on Facebook, also YouTube. Amen. And go ahead and share this video. Start a watch party. And let's spread the gospel. Let's spread the word on social media. Praise the Lord. John chapter 14, verses 27. The word of God reads, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Father, bless the reading of your word here this morning. Anoint it to our lives and to our hearts. Father, anoint me here this morning as I bring forth your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your people that take heed to your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word says to not neglect the gathering of the saints. And here we are gathered in the parking lot, at the church, and online. And I thank you for a church, Lord, that is holding on to your promises. And I pray right now, Lord, that through this message, if there be any heart that is troubled, watching online or here this morning, I pray that the peace of God will invade their soul. Speak to us ever so clearly. And God, we will be mindful to know that your word is powerful and it is quick. And I pray, Lord, that your word will pierce our hearts. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we are living in a time where the enemy wants to steal our peace. The enemy wants to steal our peace and trouble our hearts. Right now, in America and all over the world, but especially in America, many hearts are troubled. The virus has stolen people's peace. The economy and financial struggles have stolen people's peace. Fear has stolen people's peace. Sin and social injustices have stolen people's peace. But I want you to know here something this morning, that he is still the Prince of Peace. See, peace is something that money can't buy. And it can't be sold in a little bottle or in a little baggie. See, peace is a state of mind and a state of heart and the condition of a heart. See, Jesus understood that. He understood that in this world, many things would attack our peace. Has the enemy attacked your peace lately? See, there were many things, even in Jesus' day, that threatened the peace of people. For example, even Jesus' own people, the Jews, it was the Romans that ruled over them that constantly would threaten their peace. Even in Jesus' day, even the Romans, what would threaten their peace was the rebellion of the Jewish people and the rebellion that they had, the rebellion of people that they had control over. So many things, even in Jesus' day, that threatened people's peace. We fast forward to the future. You have many wars that threaten peace. In the United States of America, the Revolutionary War threatened peace. The Civil War threatened peace. In the world, World War I and World War II threatened peace in the world. And the list can go on and on of so many world wars that threatened the peace of the world. Even things like the Cold War, the threat of nuclear Armageddon and nation rising up against nation and bombing them with nuclear weapons. So many things that threaten our peace in the world today. What's threatening your peace? Along with all those things, we even had pandemics in the past that have threatened our peace. Things like the Spanish flu in the early 1900s. The different measles outbreaks that would take place throughout the 1900s. HIV in the early 1990s. It threatened peace. I remember when the outbreak of HIV took place, right? People were scared to sit on toilets. Oh, come on, somebody. Remember that? Oh, so many outbreaks. Even here recently, a couple years ago, the Ebola outbreak. It hit even here in our own backyard in Dallas. The threat of the Ebola disease and sickness and virus. All these things threaten our peace. How about Y2K? How many remember Y2K? Right? We thought all the cars were not going to work. We thought everything was going to break down. Y2K, everybody was waiting. New Year's Eve, 1999. And we were just like waiting, right, for the world to end. In 2012, the Maya's calendar said the world was going to end. So many of these things threatened our peace. You know, I've learned that peace, when you have it, is a fragile thing. When you have peace, I want you to understand that peace is a fragile thing. It's fragile. You gotta handle peace with care because it is fragile. In other words, peace must be carefully guarded. It has to be carefully guarded. See, the problem is that sometimes we think that we're at peace because we put our trust in things that cannot bring peace. But as soon as those things are taken away, guess what? Our peace is taken away. For example, our jobs. I know we all have jobs. We need jobs. They're our form of income, our livelihood. But jobs can be here today and gone tomorrow, and it could be not your fault. It's nothing that you did. You didn't break something. It just happens, and people lose their job. Let somebody lose their job and see how fast they lose their peace. Why? Because they put their trust in that job. But we're a people that we teach you not to put your trust in a job, not to put your trust in the government, not to put your trust in your boss, but keep your trust in God. And even though you may lose that job, your peace will remain. Why? Because your peace is not in money. It's not in the government. It's not in the job. But your peace is in the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, if you hear me this morning. I've learned that peace is a fragile thing. You got to handle it with care. So this morning, I want to give you 6 ways. I don't know if I'm going to get through all of them. I'm going to try. If not, I'll give them to you next week. But listen, I want to give you 6 ways on how you handle peace with care. It's like when you get a box in the mail or UPS or FedEx and it has a sticker on it, handle with care because it's fragile. And that's how peace is in your life. You got to handle it with care because it is fragile. But before I give you these six things, I want to point out that in the opening verse, Jesus said, he left us peace. He says, peace I give unto you. And most importantly, he says it was his peace that he has given to all of us. You know that Jesus was a peaceful man? He was a peaceful man. He was at peace. Even with all the trouble, even with all the persecution around him, even with the Jews trying to kill him and put him on the cross, he still walked like a G. And you know what I mean by that? He walked with peace. Come on, somebody. Huh? He didn't care. He walked the yard alone. Hello, somebody. How many understand what I'm talking about? And it wasn't because he carried around a filetto or a big gun, but it was because he had the power of God living inside of him. It was because he trusted in God and he was able to walk the yard alone. Come on, somebody. Even though he had 12 disciples around him and he had a posse around him, people didn't fear them. No, they respected them because you know why? They seen the peace on his face. They seen the joy on his face. They seen the peace in his heart. Come on, somebody. He walked around with the anointing of God. Why? Because he had the peace of God. Because he knew he had the power of God, because he knew he had him head. He didn't have to prove nothing to nobody, my friend. He knew who he was in Christ Jesus. That's the type of people God is raising up. That's the type of people that no matter what happens in this world is not going to steal their joy. This world is not going to steal their peace. Why? Because they know who they are in Christ Jesus. They know who their father is. They know who their daddy is. They know that they serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They know that it's the Lord Almighty, the Father in heaven, that looks out for them and watches out for them. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to fret. God is our Father, and he takes care of his children. Don't let the enemy rob your peace. Jesus said, this is the peace I give you. See, when you can have the peace of God on your life, you also have the power of God on your life. Come on, somebody. Did you hear that this morning, church? When you can have the peace of God upon your life, you also carry the power of God on your life. And you can walk like Jesus in this world. Nothing's going to bother you. Nothing's going to fret you. Nothing's going to shake your peace. Why? Because you got the peace that Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And so therefore you can walk in power. You can walk in victory. You can lift up your head and know that you're a child of the Most High God. See, peace gives you power, because when you have peace, fear is dampened and it renders the devil powerless over you. See, the devil controls us and he tries to control us by letting us operate through fear. He uses fear tactics. But when you can show the devil, I ain't scared. I said, I ain't scared. There was a saying back in the day, say, if you're scared, go to church. I rebuke that. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Ain't no scary going around right here, my friend. Because I know where I'm going. I know who got my back. I know that if God is for me, who could be against me? When you have peace, you can walk in power. But when the enemy gets the church to fear, see, fear paralyzes, faith releases. Come on, somebody. This is why the enemy tries to paralyze you when it comes down to giving. Paralyze you when it comes down to tuning in to coming to church. Paralyzes you from serving God. Because he tries to put fear in you. He tries to pump fear in you. Don't fall for it. Tell your neighbor, don't fall for it. Walk in peace and walk in power. So six ways on how you handle peace. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. That will be our main text here this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through verses 9. Listen to what it says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pause there. The first thing that we have to do to guard our peace is rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. Say it again like the Bible. Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And it's so important that the Apostle Paul has to say it twice. Why? Because he wants to drive this point inside of us. See, joy is so important to our peace. You know, in ancient times, the king's administrators and staff understood this. So no one was allowed to go before the king downcast. This is why we read in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, that it says that Nehemiah had never been before the king downcast. But when he did that day, the king noticed and he asked him, "Why are you downcast?" See, to go before the king downcast was dangerous because you could be killed for stealing the king's peace and for stealing the king's joy by coming before his presence downcast with a sad face. Now, of course, because of Nehemiah's favor with the king and with God, he wasn't killed, but he was helped. See, the king and his attendants, they knew that emotions are contagious and are powerful. Have you ever been around joyful people? Huh? I mean, you could be having a bad hair day, having a bad day, but an encounter with a joyful person changes you, even if it's just for that moment. Why not you be that person that spreads joy and a bit of peace to others by rejoicing? And again, rejoice. Don't forget to rejoice. You may say, "I don't have a reason to rejoice," but the Bible says that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Jesus says, "Don't rejoice that the demons and the devils are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written where it cannot be bitten." Jesus is saying, rejoice that you are saved. Don't tell me you don't got a reason to rejoice. You got a reason to rejoice. Oh, well, Pastor, you should see my bank account. Oh, well, Pastor, you should see what's going on at home. Oh, well, Penel, my friend, you can rejoice that your name, I don't care what's going on at home. I don't care what's in your bank account. Your name is written in his book. You got a reason to rejoice. See, when you rejoice, you guard your peace. Because trouble and joy don't mix. Come on, somebody. Trouble and joy don't mix. See, joy has a way of calming down troubles and problems. If you guard your joy, you can guard your peace. Sometimes to guard your joy, you need to stay away from the news. Come on, some that fake news. Come on, somebody. Huh? Listen, we got eyes and we got ears. Huh? Sometimes the news is just a bunch of Debbie Downers. Come on, somebody. Just a bunch of Debbie Downers. Why don't you come and report what's going on here on Saturday mornings? Why don't you come and report what's going on here Sunday morning? that there's still a church, that there's still a people, that we love God, and that we love life, and that we love people, and that we're reaching the treasures out of darkness, and we still got the joy of the Lord while the world is walking around downcast. You can come to 630 West Main Street, and you can find some joy. You can find some on fire people. You can find an excited church that loves God and loves people. Why don't they come report that? Why don't they come report the miracles that are happening in our men's home? Why don't they come report on how God changed your life? How you used to be a drug addict, but Jesus set you free. How you used to be a gang member, but Jesus said, how you used to be homosexual, but Jesus set you free. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. No, you walk in your victory. You walk in your calling. Sometimes you got to stay away from the news. Sometimes you got to stay away from social media. Huh? Just get on Facebook, share the video, start a watch party, and get off. Because sometimes Facebook can give you nothing but bad news. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, don't be a promoter of bad news. Start promoting the gospel. The gospel means good news. That's what the gospel means, good news. Sometimes to guard your joy, you gotta turn Facebook off. You gotta turn that stuff, the news off. Turn off all that negativity that's coming from them. To guard your joy. The second thing that we need is found in the scriptures. Look at verse 4. The devil turned my Bible. Where are you at? How many know the devil's a lie? How many know the devil's ugly? How many know the devil's going to hell? Come on, somebody. And we're going to heaven. Philippians 4. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The second thing to guard your peace is be gentle. Come on, tell your neighbor, be gentle. Come on, tell them, be gentle. Don't, come on, some of you are like, be gentle. That's not gentle. You can't even be gentle being gentle, amen. Be gentle. Listen, I know we come from a rough background. Huh? We come from a rough background, but we're a new creation in Christ. The old man is dead. The new man has arrived. You got to learn to be a gentle giant. See, a gentle giant has learned not only that peace is fragile, but he's also learned that people are fragile too. People are fragile too. And so a gentle giant has learned that. And a gentle giant and somebody that has the peace of God knows that God loves them, but God loves people. And so therefore he must treat people with care. So not only does he got to treat gentleness with care or peace with care, but he got to treat people with gentleness and care because people are fragile. I have not met a mean person with peace. Did you get that? I've never met a mean person that has peace. And I've never met a peaceful person that is mean. See, Paul says, he says, your gentleness is evidence that God is in you. And near you. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Paul is saying, the word is saying, what is proof that God is in you? Your gentleness. Your gentleness. What is, husbands, what is proof that God is in you? Your gentleness with your wife. Oh, come on now. It's going to get quiet up in here now. Huh? Gentleness with your wife is not, vieja, tráeme los zapatos. Woman, cook me some food. That's not gentleness. Huh? Gentleness. Ladies, the same way. Come on, somebody. You got to be gentle with your husband. Oh, no, Pastor, he's rough. He's a rough one. He don't listen if I talk to him nice. Come on, somebody. Huh? Parents! Mama bear! Papa bear! Got to be gentle with your kids. Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? We got to be gentle. Why? Because our gentleness is evident to all the Lord is near. The enemy always wants us to drop our fruits. And he, you know who gets us? You know who he gets us to drop our fruit the easiest with? Is with our family. That's right, because they're the closest one to us. Huh? You got to practice your gentleness because, listen, at the end of the day, it's going to benefit you too. Because when you're gentle, there's more peace in your home. There's more peace around you when you learn to be gentle. Paul says it's your gentleness that is evident that God is in you and near you. A gentle person is a nice person because they are aware that God is with them. You need to be aware that everywhere you go, God is with you. When you go to work, God is with you. When you go to the grocery store, God is with you. When you're driving on the highway, God is with you in the car right next to you in the seat. So therefore, get rid of that road rage. You'll stop cutting people off. You'll stop saying they're number one, but with the other finger. Come on, somebody. You'll stop probably talking crazy and stop cussing. Oh, some of you, your mouth needs to be washed out. Woo, not here in the parking lot, those watching online. Just kidding, give it. Come on, somebody. Listen, whenever we understand that God is near and God is with us, we'll be different. Huh? We will be a different type of people. Huh? A different type of people. Why? Because we walk with the mentality that God is with us. A gentle and a nice person, they are aware that God is with them everywhere they go. Matter of fact, throughout the day, you should say it. You should say, God is with me. God is with me. God is near me. God is with me today. God is with me right now. If God is with you, you should remind yourself constantly throughout the day that God is with me right now. You know, if God wasn't with me, I'd be a mean dude. I'd be mean. Matter of fact, when I'm mean is because I'm not aware that God is with me. There's times where we leave God in the past. We leave God at home. We leave God behind us. And it's that time when we do that, that we start to act out. We have to always be aware that God is with us. See, gentleness promotes peace. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So gentleness promotes peace. Some of our roughness is stealing our peace. Gentleness is something we can accomplish if we put effort to it. God is not asking us to do something, some hard thing. God is just telling us to be gentle. It's not hard to be gentle. It just takes a little bit of effort. And when you do, my friend, you'll find yourself protecting your peace that Jesus gave you. The third thing you got to do to protect your peace is you got to quell your anxieties. You got to quell your anxieties. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Quell your anxieties. You know, I heard that if you get panic attacks, you should focus on one thing and stare at it. And when you do that, it helps with the panic attacks. That's what I heard sometimes. Now, anxiousness is a feeling of worry. Today in our society, there are so many things that tempt us to worry. If you focus on God's goodness and on God's faithfulness and on God's promises, your worries will dissipate. Remember, that's what people say. They say if you get anxiety attacks, just focus on one thing. That's what they tell you. That's what doctors, counselors, if you're a person that has eye anxiety and you start to get anxieties, just put your eyes towards something and focus on it. Well, I'm here to tell you what you need to put your eyes on is you need to put your eyes on God and focus on Him. And when you do that, your anxieties would dissipate. Your worry would dissipate. We have to learn to quell our anxiety. How many times have His anxiety stolen our peace? I know many people that struggle with anxiety. I struggled with it at times in the past. But I learned to cast my cares upon the Lord because He cares for me. One thing's for sure, an anxious person is robbed from God's peace. Jesus commanded us, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. And it has enough worries. Today has enough worries for itself. Paul here, he commands us, be anxious for nothing. Jesus said, do not be anxious. Paul here commands us to be anxious for nothing. You know what this tells me? This tells me that anxiety can be turned off. If you get anxious, you can turn it off. If you start worrying, you can turn it off. You have the power to turn it off. Tell your neighbor, turn it off. Yeah, you don't have to be anxious. You don't gotta be worried. You can turn it off. And it may help turning off the news or even social media or even your phone. Come on, somebody. Sometimes that phone has a way of giving you anxiety. Because every time you get all kinds of alerts and all kinds of notifications and all kinds of like, man, I just want to just throw this thing out the window. Sometimes you just got to turn it off. Turn the world off and focus on God. Focus on God. I think anxiety is one of the greatest problems of today's society. One group is anxious about the other group. The Republicans are anxious about the Democrats, and the Democrats are anxious about the Republicans. And this group over here is anxious about this group. It's so much anxiety. Anxiety is a big problem today. But the problem is that their focus is on people and not on God. If their focus was on God, their anxiety will be quelled. You got to learn to quell your anxieties. The things that you fear, shut them out, shut them up. Quell your anxiety because it's stealing your peace. What are you anxious about? You anxious about how much money's going to come in? Are you anxious about what's going to come in your chest? Are you anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow? What are you anxious about? Turn it off. Just turn it off. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it and do the next one. Start praying about it. Start praying. Number four is prayer. You want true peace? Pray. Verse 6 even tells us how to pray. Show me a man and a woman that prays, I'll show you a man and a woman that has the peace of God upon their life. If you have anxious thoughts and you have anxiety, you got to get on your knees and seek the face of God. That's what's going to heal your anxiety. If you want true peace, pray. Pray. Verse 6 even tells us how to pray. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It tells us how to pray. It says, petition God. Ask God for what you need. In other words, give it to God. God can handle it. Whatever you're anxious about, you may not have the answer for it. You may not have the solution for it, but I know who does. The God in heaven does. He has the answer. He has the solution, and you can petition God. Just give it over to God and say, God, here I need a healing in this area. I need a breakthrough in this area. I need power in this area. Just petition. You have not because you ask not, but if you ask, you will have. Ask, and if you ask with all your heart, and if you ask and you believe what you ask for, you shall have what you ask for. Do we believe in the Word of God? Do we believe that it is true? So therefore, if you pray with faith and you believe that you have what you ask for, it will be given unto you. But you got to believe it. Quit listening to doubts. Quit listening to the fears and listen to God's word and stand on God's promises. If any man say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, that mountain will have to obey you and do what you say. But do you have enough faith to speak to that mountain? Do you have enough faith to ask God to remove that mountain? You got to petition. Ask God for what you need. He can handle it. Then it says thanksgiving. Do not be anxious, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, prayer of thanksgiving. Prayer of thanksgiving. Even if you're good right now and you don't need anything, then you should be thanking God because your family is set, because you're set and you're not in lack and you're not in want. So therefore, if that's you, because God has blessed you, my friend, because we have some people that are blessed here this morning. And listen, if that's you, then get into prayer. And you may not have to ask, but you can thank God. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God that he put a roof over your head. Thank God that there's food in your stomach. Thank God that you have a car to drive. Thank God that you do have a job, but mostly thank God for your salvation, and mostly thank God that he puts up with all your madness. I thank God, God puts up with me. I thank God, God has mercy upon my life, because oh, I don't know why he does, but I thank that he's a loving and merciful God, that he puts up with a knucklehead like me. Thank God. You know, the prayer of thanksgiving is one of the most beautiful and rewarding prayers. This prayer brings a brokenness and a peace like none other. Listen, it's the times where I have spent in prayer just thanking God that I have been broken the most in the presence of God, because I remember where he brought me from. I remember the jail cell he took me out of. I remember the drugs he took me out of. I remember how I should be dead. I should be in a coffin. Oh, but I thank him for his mercy, and I thank him for his grace, and it begins to break me inside, because I thank him that he gave me a second chance. Nobody else wanted to give me a second chance, but he gave me a second chance. And it breaks me. It breaks me that he's a merciful and loving God. And when you begin to thank him, oh, he loves thanksgiving. He loves thanksgiving not because of the turkey and the dressing. He loves it because he loves that you're our grateful son and that you're a grateful daughter. And you know what it causes him to do? It causes him to bless you even more. He says, oh, they look so beautiful thanking me. They look so beautiful loving me. I can't help but to give them more. I can't help but to give them more peace. I can't help but to give them more joy. I can't help but to give them more resources. I can't help but to give them more blessings upon blessings upon blessings. The prayer of thanksgiving is a beautiful prayer. Then he says, present your request to God. Present your request to God. In other words, in your prayer, focus your prayers on God. So many times we focus our prayer on self. So many times we focus our prayer on our problems. And you're not thinking about God, but in prayer, you're thinking about yourself and your problems. Huh? Or maybe that's just me. Oh, you got a perfect prayer life. I catch myself sometimes. I say, what am I doing? I'm spending more time here, and I say it's prayer, but man, it's worry. It's not prayer. I'm worrying. I'm not praying. Come on, somebody. Huh? Oh, my friend. When you focus your prayers on God, that means you're focused on the immenseness of God. That means you're focused on the omnipotence of God. That means you're focused on the grandness of God. And so therefore, your problems become minute. Your problems become to get shrunk. You, as you begin to view your problems in view of God's greatness and vastness, you say, God, this ain't nothing for you. This ain't nothing. You can handle this, God. You can handle. Start telling God about your problem. Quit telling Facebook about your problem. Quit telling yourself about your problem. Start telling God. And start declaring, God, you're bigger than this problem. You're bigger than this sickness. You're bigger than this virus. You're bigger than this economy. You're bigger than what I'm facing. Focus your attention on God. Listen. If you don't come out of prayer with some peace, you probably didn't pray right. Huh? I could just drop the mic right now. If you don't come out of prayer with peace, you probably didn't pray right. Man, you didn't pray right. Huh? You should come out of prayer not only with peace, but with power. You should come out of prayer with not just with some people, some power, with the victory. Even though things don't look, even though things still look the same, things ain't the same. What's up, homie? Jesus loves you. He heard me. Prayer. Number five. Piano player can come up. Get your thinking right. To guard your peace, get your thinking right. Get rid of stinking thinking. Get your thinking right, church. If you're going to guard your peace, the Apostle Paul in verse 8, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, lots of times it's our thinking that robs us of our peace. We are thinking on and we are thinking of the wrong things. I believe there are two things God has to teach every Christian and how to think. God has to teach all Christians, if we're going to live in victory, how to talk and how to think. God has to teach us to talk heaven's language. You know what heaven's language is? Heaven's language is faith. Start talking faith. Quit talking negativity. Quit saying I can't. Quit saying I can't. Get I can't out of your vocabulary. Write I can't on a piece of paper. Ball it up. Go dig a hole in the backyard and bury it. Get I can out of your vocabulary. We got to start speaking heaven's language. Heaven's language is faith. And if we can learn to talk, if we can learn to talk heaven's language, our minds will begin to think heaven's language. And our hearts will begin to believe it. And Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible for those who believe. But we got to learn how to talk. We got to learn how to talk and how to think. See, our words and our thoughts have power. And so God here, he gives us a breakdown here on how to think. He says, think on truth. You know what truth is? God's word. Think about God's word. He says, think on noble things. You know what noble things are? Honorable things. Not things of dishonor. Think of things that are honorable and not dishonorable. Think of things that honor God. Then he says, think on right things. In other words, don't entertain lies or falsehood. He says, think on purity. Kick lust out and be innocent in your thought life. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let the devil lie to you that this is impossible to kick lust out. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You can kick lust out of your mind and out of your heart. Oh, it got quiet. You can kick it out. You could kick doubt out. You could kick fear out of your mind and your thinking. Think on purity. Purity is not just a sexual thing. Purity is an innocent thing. The innocence of God's word. Then he says, think about love. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Think about such things. Think about love. Not just Eros love. You know what Eros love is? Eros love is the romantic love. See, if you're married or engaged, it's cool to think of Eros love. But if not, then think about brotherly and friendship love, which is phileo love. This love desires good things for the other person and is compassionate and relational. Then we also need to think about God's agape love for you and I. Agape love is a divine love. This love is unconditional. It loves despite the actions of others. It says that I will love you even when you deny me love in return. I will love you even when you don't love yourself. Think about agape love, which is God's love for you. When you think about that love, oh my gosh, you'll fall in love again with God again over and over again. Think about things that are lovely. And then he says, think on admirable things. What do you admire? I admire God and I admire God's people. So if I'm going to think about something, I'm going to think about God and I'm going to think about God's people. Then he says, think of things that are excellent. See, when we think on things that are excellent, this will enable us to have a spirit of excellence in everything we do, especially in serving God. And when we think about excellence, excellence brings success. Lastly, he says, think about praise. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. And praise him when the sun goes down. Praise, praise, praise. Matter of fact, take 10 seconds and praise God right now. The sixth thing to guard your peace, follow your leader's lead. Follow your leader's lead. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And what? And the God of peace will be with you all. Follow your leader's lead. What Paul is saying, he says, listen, I got God's peace. And in short, if you want God's peace, do what I do. Follow my example, my teachings, my preachings, and way of life. And if you do, the God of peace will be with you too. See, Jesus wants you to have peace in a pandemic. So he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Verse 9 says in Philippians 4, if you do all these things, the God of peace will be with you. If you do all these things that we talked about this morning, the God of peace will be with you. I don't know about you, but I want the God of peace to be with me. Do you want God, the God of peace to be with you? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. If you want the God of peace to be with you here this morning, lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your hands to the Lord and worship Him. Praise Him. Think about Him. Forget about your troubles. Forget about your worries. Forget about your anxieties. Turn your anxieties off. Focus on the Lord.